In the Sichos Musar of Chaim Shalevitz, there is no drasha for Parshas Kedoshim. However, this week is the 5th of Iyar, and it is Yom Asmod. So I want to learn together with everybody a piece, the only piece from Chaim Shalevitz, about Eretz Yisrael and appreciating Eretz Yisrael. It's certainly appropriate for the time period that we're in, and it's also certainly appropriate for the people here who, Bezras Hashem, will be going to Eretz Yisrael, and to enhance and to enlighten their appreciation of the land. So let's begin. This piece happens to be in Parshas Devarim. It's in Parshas Devarim in Sichos Musar, but for us it is related to Yom Atzmut and Heiyar. The pasuk says in the beginning of Devarim, "Penu usu lachem uvo har emori." Hashem or Moshe Rabbeinu really is describing the travels in which they'll go into Eretz Yisrael. V'al kol shcheinav barava bahar v'shvela, so going to the mountains and the valleys, v'negev v'chof, the south, and towards the sea. Eretz ha-Kna'ani, the land of the Kna'anim, v'halavavon, going all the way up to Lebanon. Anahar ha-gadol, Nahar Pras, until the Nahar Pras, which is the Euphrates. And here, not only here, but almost every single time in the Torah, it refers to the Euphrates River, Nahar Pras. It always adds an expression, Nahar HaGadol, the great river. Not just the first time in Bereishis, when it describes Gan Eden and how everything fits together, but every single time the Euphrates is described, it calls it Nahar HaGadol, the great river. You would think that after the first time, we get the point. We know that it's the great river. Why every single time does it have to be indicated with that title of Nahar HaGadol? So says Rashi over here, Ad Nahar HaGadol, and by the way, this Rashi is also almost every single time it says Nahar HaGadol, Nahar Pras. What does Rashi say? Why is it called the Great River? B'pnei Shenizkar im Eretz Yisrael. Because it is connected and is intertwined with Eretz Yisrael. Karu Gadol, therefore it is called Great. Mashal Hediot Omer Aved Melech Melech Hidabek L'Shachavar V'Shach V'Low Karav Lagabe Dehena Idna. Meaning it's like the Eved, the servant of a king. You respect the servant of the king because he's connected to the king. So too, we respect and we acknowledge the greatness of the Euphrates River, even though it is not Eretz Yisrael, but because it is connected, it is near Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it is called Nahar HaGadol, the great river, because of its proximity to Eretz Yisrael. This is the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, says Rechaim Shmulevitz. There is a beautiful story that he doesn't tell here, but it happens to be a favorite story of mine, about the Malbim. The Malbim was a Rav in a number of different places in the 1800s in Europe, in Hungary, in different communities. At one point, the Malbim, who we all know from Chumash and Navi fame and his parish on Tanakh, the Malbim once had in his office two visitors waiting to see him. One was a very wealthy man who had come from a very well-to-do community, who had very important business to meet with the Malbim about. And the other was a poor shaliach, a messenger collecting tzedakah from Eretz Yisrael, who was not dressed very nicely, and perhaps not have the greatest appearance, and didn't seem to be so special, and they were both waiting in the office. So the Malbim opened his door to see who was outside, and he saw the very wealthy, very fancy, very powerful man, and he saw the beggar from Eretz Yisrael. And he turned to the beggar from Eretz Yisrael and said, "Please come in, I'd like to meet with you." And the wealthy man was livid. He was so insulted. His kavod was so damaged. Doesn't he know who I am? I'm an important person. I support the community. I deserve respect. And this nobody from Eretz Yisrael comes in and he goes in front of me. How could that be? And the Malbim has the guy waiting 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 45 minutes, the guy sitting there. And finally, he gives the guy shaliach from Eretz Yisrael, a shalom aleichem, sends him on his way, and that's it. So the guy comes in, and he sits at the Malbim, and they're talking, and he can't control it, and he says, "I don't understand. You know that I'm a very important person. How could you pass me over and take in this guy from Eretz Yisrael instead of me?" So the Malbim said, the answer is this Rashi. He said, every single time it says Nahar HaGadol Nahar Pras, what does Rashi say? It's great because of its proximity to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, "What do you mean? I need to know who's the Gadol, who's the greater between the two. You're from here, he's from Eretz Yisrael. So who should go first? The one who comes from Eretz Yisrael." Proximity, closeness, living there in Yisrael, makes a person a gadol, makes them greater than those people who do not. And he says, Kal v'chomer, hu she'eretz Yisrael goremes chashivas l'chol ha'nimtzaba, she'zocha le'aleha ruchnis gedol k'shuba. Eretz Yisrael gives every single person who lives there a spiritual boost over everybody else. It says, Eretz v'zahav ha'aretz ha'hi ha'tov, it says in Bereishis, sham ha'bedolach ve'evan ha'shoham. This is the golden land. Listen to this Medrash Rabbin, Vayikra Rabbi Perakud Gimel. V'zahav eretz hu ha'tov. What is so tov about Eretz Yisrael? Melamech ein Torah ketoras Eretz Yisrael. There is no Torah like the Torah learned in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ein chachma kechachmas Eretz Yisrael. And there is no wisdom like the wisdom that is acquired in Eretz Yisrael. There is nothing comparable. As much Torah and as great as the teachers and the classes may be in America, there is nothing comparable to Torah's Eretz Yisrael. Learning Torah and gaining wisdom in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim, the very air of the land of Israel, makes a person smarter. Simply breathing in the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael will make a person smarter and more intelligent. The Pasuk says, we have over here in Micha, I don't know if we knew this is a Pasuk, in Micha Parak Dalid, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. And the understanding being that the Torah, its center is Eretz Yisrael. The center of Torah in the world is Eretz Yisrael, and that is the greatest, most spiritual place that a person can go. This is important for us to understand. We know, look over here, Rashi and Yonah tells us, Levroach Tarshisha. Yonah ran from Eretz Yisrael to Tarshish. Why did he run away? We all know this. Why did he run away? Because he knew that he wouldn't get Nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Says Rashi, Yom Shishamo Tarshish v'hu b'chutz la'aretz. Amar, Evarech li hayam, I will flee to the waters. Shein hashchida shor b'chutz la'aretz, because the Shechina does not rest in chutz la'aretz. Does not rest in Long Island and other places like that. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chayecha by your life, leishlecha shluchim liyot tzibach, leshlach acharecha v'yecha sham. He says, Sesh Hashem, don't worry, I have ways to get to you. And the whole story of Yonah unfolds before our very eyes. But it says Rashi, Eretz Yisrael is a place of nevuah, a place of Shechina, Kedusha, growth in Torah, Ruchnius, and that's the greatest place that a person can grow when it comes to these things. Yeah.
So, like, you're that's why Alvin's father wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, because he wanted that.
That spirituality that can only be found there. Excellent. Very good. Look here at another aspect about Eretz Yisrael. Listen to this Gemara Nedarim. Ready for a wild Gemara Nedarim?
Yeah.
The Gemara says in the Nedarim Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, we'll read it in English, according to the translation of the Ran, Ula, on his ascent to Eretz Yisrael, had two residents of the city of Chuzai join him on his travels. Because of a brawl between them, they got into a fight. One arose and he shechted the other guy. He killed him. He murdered him right in front. Now, there's a dot, dot, dot there. It goes on to discuss the details of the murder. It's not important for our discussion right now. But then the Gemara asks a question. With regard to the story itself, Rabbi Yochanan wondered, now it is written in the passage of curses in the Tochacha, but Hashem shall give you a trembling heart. And this is written in regard to Bavel. Because in Bavel, in Gullus, an individual possesses a trembling and an angry heart. When a person lives in Gullus, they're very unsettled, they're very anxious, they can act in an impetuous, not grounded, terrible way when you live in Gullus. How is it possible that in Eretz Yisrael, a person can get so angry to murder another? Listen to the question of the Gemara. Eretz Yisrael is a relaxing, calming area. A person can commit murder in Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara? So Ula said to him, at that moment when the incident occurred, we had not yet crossed the Jordan River. And we were still outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the curse of a heart of anger was relevant. That's the Gemara's answer. You're right. The only way it could have happened is that they were outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Unfortunately, we know there are certainly are tragedies and murders that do a case in Eretz Yisrael, but that's not the way it should be. That's abnormal. The way it should be in Eretz Yisrael is a person is calm. There's no anxiety. A person is relaxed. The spirit of the land puts a person at calm, at ease. There's nachas. They are content, and they're happy with who they are. And they're peaceful in the way they are because of that Tosefes Kedusha, that additional holiness of the land. Now, on that Gemara, that's one way to read the Gemara. The Shita Mekubetzes, on that Gemara, says the question differently. Now, the question is not, how could it be that a murder occurred? The Shita Mekubetzes says, no. V'tmiyahai Rabbi Yochanan al-levavol shel ula Hayech nispached. Rav Yochanan asked Ula, how could you be scared when you saw that murder take place? You were in Eretz Yisrael. Nothing should shake you. A person who's in Eretz Yisrael has bitachon, a person is content, a person trusts in Hashem. How could you be shaken? Weren't you in Eretz Yisrael? Where was your bitachon in Hashem? You were in the place of holiness. And the answer was, I wasn't actually in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why I was shaken. But that's how far it goes. Eretz Yisrael improves our emotions. It improves the way we feel. And it decreases our anxiety. And it makes us calm, more relaxed people. That's number two. Then, Reb Chaim Shlomitz brings a beautiful medrash in Devarim Rabbah, Perek Beis. Amar Lefanu Ribono Shel Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was complaining to Hashem for not being allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, had a complaint. What was one of the complaints? Atzmosav Shel Yosef Nichlasu La'aretz, Va'ani Eini Nichnas La'aretz? Why is that fair? Yosef's bones will eventually make it into Eretz Yisrael to be buried, and I won't? Who's the one who got those bones? Me. Moshe Rabbeinu, remember the story, right? Moshe Rabbeinu schlepping all over Mitzrayim, the rest of Bnei Yisrael looking for, you know, diamonds and gold and tiaras and all types of fancy things, running around where he leave, and Moshe Rabbeinu is looking for Yosef's bones. He says, who's the one who got the bones? Why is that fair? I should stay and die and not make an Eretz Yisrael, and Yosef's going to get there? At least, says Moshe, what? Let me be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why don't I deserve that? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Hashem, such a sharp way. Misha hoda ba'artso, nikvar ba'artso. Misha lo hoda ba'artso, ena nikvar ba'artso. And he says, a person who acknowledged Eretz Yisrael, his land, he'll be buried there. And the one who did not acknowledge his homeland will not be buried there. Yosef hoda ba'artso. Yosef recognized where he came from, Eretz Yisrael, minayin gviroso omeres. In the episode of Eishes Potiphar, she said, Ru'u hevi lanu ish ivri. They brought us a Jewish man from Ivri, from the Ivrim of the land of Israel. V'lo kafar. And Yosef never denied it. He always said, I am a man from Israel. As it says, ganov ganavti me'eretz ha'ivrim. I come from Eretz Yisrael. That's my home. That's who I am. That's who I identify with. That's my homeland in Eretz Yisrael. But says Hashem to Moshe, at shelo hodisa ba'artzecha, eina tanikvar ba'artzecha. But you, Moshe, you did not admit, you did not recognize that Eretz Yisrael is where you belong. Kate said, how do I know this? Benos Yisro Omeris, the daughters of Yisro said, ish mitzri hatzileinu miyad haro'im. An Egyptian man saved us from the hands of the shepherds when they went to their father. And Moshe never denied it. He never changed and said, no, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a Jew. My homeland is Israel. Moshe never corrected them. V'hu shomea, v'shotek, and he heard it, and he was quiet. L'fichach lo nikbar b'artzo, and therefore he did not merit to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And this, says Reb Chaim Shlomitz, answers the following question. Why is it that he's talking to, when he gave the sicha, Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, why is it that the people living in Eretz Yisrael don't feel that? Why don't we feel that hashpa, that emotional fervor, that power, that spiritual injection of extra oomph that we need? And he said, because it's up to us. He says, hadvarim mafliyim, this is amazing. Benos Yisro called him Ish Mitzray, and he simply didn't deny it. He didn't identify himself as a person of the land of Israel, and nevertheless, mishum sh'inyan zesh shemishlo hoda ba'artzo nikba ba'artzo. If you don't recognize, if you don't acknowledge and say, Eretz Yisrael is my homeland, America is simply where I am, and where I'm residing right now, but really my homeland is Eretz Yisrael, then you will not merit. Einu b'toras onesh. It's not a punishment. Elu metzias. It's a reality. Shekol she'enu moda be'eretz einu shaych aretz. If you don't admit and acknowledge Eretz Yisrael as your homeland, then you're not. It's not your homeland. Then Hashem will make it so. You could have all the excuses in the world. Moshe Rabbeinu will say, you know, Paro's running after me, or, you know, I wasn't thinking, and it was a slip of the tongue, and they said it, not me. All the excuses in the world, says Reb Chaim Shlomitz, Mikol Makom in Haaretz Rotzabo. Eretz Yisrael does not desire you. It's not interested in having you if you don't show an interest and a desire in it. Yeah.
A question on that? Like,
yeah.
Like, How do we know that he was quiet?
It says that in the pasuk. How does the medrash know that? Torah shval peh.
Even if in that instance he wasn't, like, there's so many other times where, like, he showed that he wanted to live with Eretz Yisrael. So, like, why is that one time?
But again, I don't need to defend Moshe Rabbeinu, and you know, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem is righteous in all His ways. But the truth is, we find Moshe Rabbeinu only desiring it after it was taken away. Meaning, once Hashem said no, then Moshe Rabbeinu speaks up. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says something. But at that time, when he was given the opportunity, without being tested, he said, no, Ish Mitzri Anochi. Egypt is my homeland. And Hashem said, but you know, you're this children, you're come from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's true you never lived there before. But you're B'nai Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. You know where you're supposed to go. To identify yourself as an Egyptian, no matter how long you're in Galus, we are B'nai Eretz Yisrael first, Americans second. That's how we have to identify ourselves. What?
You're not from Israel.
No. We're not talking.
How do you say that, like, nowadays? Like, how do you, like, say that, like,
let's develop it a little bit more. We'll talk practically in a second. Yeah.
I just feel like Yosef was coming from there, and nevertheless,
that's the point of Medrash. And nevertheless, yeah.
It's like the Israel, like, common thing for Jews or for everyone?
Jews. Eretz Yisrael is our homeland. It's not the homeland. Yes. I'm pretty sure we're supposed to have Eretz Yisrael, not everybody else. For Eretz Yisrael is our homeland. Eretz Yisrael is our homeland. Yeah.
I have two things.
Yeah.
One, we learned in Chumash, like, you know, like, in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, that, like, there are people that say that, like, the reason why you need to believe that Eretz Yisrael is our homeland is because, like, people say that the mitzvos here are, like, we're just practicing.
Correct. The Ramban, yeah.
Is that true?
Yes, the Ramban writes that. The mitzvahs are just practice, like, right? Strong.
Okay, fine. And also, like, all these sources and, like, people that you've been saying and all this, like, praise about Israel, like, why are we living here?
That's a good question. Like, let's talk about that at the end.
Okay.
Let's talk about that at the end. We'll finish Ruch HaKodesh Leibnitz and then we'll come back. Yeah. What it means is that if you read the Chumash, every single time it says, and in Eretz Yisrael you're going to do this, and in Eretz Yisrael, and when you get to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be this. So the Ramban says, a person just has to have open eyes to understand that the mitzvos are designed perfectly to be in Eretz Yisrael. The reason why we're doing them, even though we're not there, is because we can't have Klal Yisrael fall apart, and we can't have people not doing mitzvos and get to Eretz Yisrael and then pick them up all of a sudden. But really, mitzvos are mostly fine-tuned and designed to be done in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
Is it, like, the same thing as, like, thinking, like, oh, in my head, like, it's always, like, oh, like, Eretz Yisrael is, like, for the Jews, like, when Mashiach comes, like, we'll all be living there. Is that, like, the same thing as, like, saying that, like, we're, like, from Israel?
He'll develop a little bit more, and then we'll come back to that point. Yeah.
Why is learning in Israel better?
Because the very nature of the land. The land is, Eretz Yisrael is like a very finely calibrated instrument that is full of potential. That's why the Pasuk always says that if we're improper in our soul, it says the land will spit you out, meaning that it's a very sensitive spiritual tool. If it's used properly, it will take whatever ruchnis you have and send it to an even higher level. Let's look at the next Pasuk. The Pasuk says, this is why. The Pasuk says in Dvarim, Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha doresh osa. It is the land. It's the last source on the page, on the first page. It is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doresh. He's interested in. All the other countries in the world, all the other nations, have a malach, like an angel that's appointed by Hashem to be in charge of them. The only place where Hashem is intimately looking at, in His own discretion, caring about on His own, without sending out messengers, is Eretz Yisrael. Tamid einei Hashem Elokecha ba. Always the eyes of Hashem are looking at Eretz Yisrael. May Reishis Hashana ve'Achas Hashana. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Hashem cares about Eretz Yisrael more than any other land. It's very, very special to Him. And because it's so special to Him, it comes with all these spiritual components. Yeah.
So does that mean then that Hashgacha praxis is only in Eretz Yisrael?
There might be more Hashgacha praxis, a higher level in Eretz Yisrael, but there's Hashgacha praxis attacking everywhere, but certainly a more sensitive Hashgacha praxis. one only gets the milas of Eretz Yisrael if you recognize them yourself. If you appreciate Eretz Yisrael, then all of those milas, all of those benefits, the emotional calmness and the spirituality and all those things will come from the person who recognizes and appreciates those things. The Pasuk says in Bereishis Lamed Gimel, Vayikain eschelkas asada asher nata sham ahalo miyad b'nei chamor avishchem b'meya kishita. It says that Yaakov Avinu bought a land to put his tent down from B'nai Chamor, the father of Shechem. That leads to a different episode. Why do I have to know that Yaakov bought a piece of land in that area? Look at the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says, Chalkas Hasada, Chelek Besada, V'hizkir Zeh Akasa. Why does the Torah tell us that Yaakov bought land? Lahodia ki Maila Gedola Yesh Eretz Yisrael. It's a big deal for Eretz Yisrael. If you own land in Eretz Yisrael, chashuv hu kechelik olam haba, it's like owning a piece of olam haba. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. Owning a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael is like owning a piece of olam haba. But only, says Rechaim Shalevitz, but that's only if you do it because you realize Eretz Yisrael is special. If you buy a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, says Rechaim Shalevitz, but you do it because it's a good investment, or because it's convenient, or, you know, it's good for vacations, that's not what we're talking about. It needs to be, according to Ibn Ezra, that you buy land in Israel because you recognize this is a spiritual, holy place that I want to be part of. And he says a story that Rav Chaskel Abramsky was one of the great gedolim of previous generations, that he lived in a rented apartment in, I think he like rented, he lived in an apartment in Beit Vagan, but he bought like a portion of a field like up north in Eretz Yisrael that he never ever visited, ever in his life. Why? Because of this Ibn Ezra. He just wanted to show his love of Eretz Yisrael by owning a piece of land. That was it. Not to get any use out of it, not to do anything with it, but just to show that he loved the land of Israel. Yeah.
You could buy land in Israel with the intentions, like obviously not anything special, but like, with the intentions that you're buying it, so you can have like a
That's fine. That's fine. As long as you're doing this, recognizing that Eretz Yisrael is a special place, and I want to have a portion of that, it's as if you have a chelek in olam haba.
What if you're doing it just so you have a like? It's
okay, but you recognize that as special. You recognize it as special. Yeah.
Can I do that portion olam haba?
Yes. The Gemara says. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that I can get chassidim almost olam, those who are righteous and fal shem esfeinach. Can go on haba for sure. Okay, now we find as well by the Benos Tzlafchad. It says by the daughters of Tzlafchad. Everybody knows the story, right? Benos Tzlafchad, the father died, and they didn't have a chelek in any of the shvatim. So where are they going to get land in Eretz Yisrael? Lama yigara shem avinu mitoch mishpachso. Why should the name of our father be lessened from our family? Ki ein lo ben, because he has no son. We also want to have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. We also want to have a portion there. So the pasuk says in Rashi in Bamidbar Chavav says in the previous parak, he says, what happened over here? The women were not decreed in the events of the Meraglim. Because they loved Eretz Yisrael. Ha'anashim omrim. The men said, Nasna Rosh v'nashuv mitzrayma. Let's go back to Egypt. This is not going to work out. The episode with Meraglim. V'hanashim omros t'na lanu achuz l'kach nismecha parshish b'nos t'lafchad l'kan. Why does the parsha b'nos t'lafchad come right next to the episode of the Meraglim? To teach us that the Meraglim messed up because they lacked avas Eretz Yisrael. They lacked a love for land of Israel. But the women loved Eretz Yisrael, and they were not part of the episode of the Meraglim. And Rav Chaim Shalevitz says, before that, you should just be aware of an amazing Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar writes in the beginning of Parsha Shlach that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have sent 12 women to spy on the land, they would have been successful. And they wouldn't have messed up. It's only because the men didn't have that love of the land, and the women did have that love of the land, that's where they messed up. But if he would have sent 12 women to the spying, we would not be sitting here right now, and we'd be sitting in Eretz Yisrael. Then he says, "V'chaim Shmulevitz, v'itachin shezehu gam kein hatam shenimchal Yisrael achid ha'igel v'ilu chid ha'meraglim anuchah behem." This is also, he says, the reason why the Jewish people were eventually forgiven for the sin of the golden calf, but not forgiven for the sin of the Meraglim, because it had to do with speaking badly about Eretz Yisrael, a rejection of the land of Israel, and that's why there was no mechil, there was no forgiveness for the events of the Meraglim versus the Chet HaEgel. So, it's a shorter piece from the Chaim Shalevitz. It's a shorter piece from the Chaim Shalevitz, and it is a very important piece. We'll take questions afterwards in a second, but just again to summarize, Eretz Yisrael needs to be our geographic and spiritual center. And we are tremendously, tremendously blessed to live in a time, thanks to the events of 1948, which occurred on the 5th of Iyar, this coming week, in a couple of days, to have a tremendous bracha from Hashem, to live in a time where it costs a little bit of money and a 10-hour plane ride, and you can go to a place that 100 years ago, they only dreamed of the possibility of going. And we are so fortunate to live in a generation that a Kadosh Baruch gave us a bracha of a place to go home and a place to celebrate and a place to be with our families there and to be a holy place in Eretz Yisrael and to not lack that Hakaras HaTov, to not lack that Hakaras HaTov and that appreciation for the tremendous gift that we have. Next year you have a tremendous opportunity to be in such a place like Eretz Yisrael and take advantage of that emotional greatness, that spiritual greatness, and to cultivate that love and that feeling to Imir Sashem, to want to perhaps live there one day and to set roots there one day and to make it your not just spiritual center but geographic center as well. So hopefully reviewing these ideas will give us that appreciation and enhance our upcoming Amas Mut, and it should be not just a day of celebrating, of wanting to be there, but Imir Sashem be a time we can celebrate actually being there as well. Okay.